Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank God. Baruch Hashem. Getting in the spirit and getting ready for Hanukkah.
Yeah, it's special spirit. It's the light. It's the smell of the latkes.
The eating of the latkes, too, is good.
The eating of the latkes, yeah. The presents.
That's right. That's right. You know, they say is after Hanukkah, don't go on the scale for a little while.
Listen, I don't go. I have months that I don't step on the scale. Not on high holidays, not on Hanukkah, not on Passover.
Yeah, sure, that's true.
Yeah.
So very nice, beautiful. Yeah.
Good.
So generally, you know, we talk about this week's Torah portion, which we talk about every week, which is the Torah portion of Vayeshev,
yeah,
which is a beautiful Torah portion, and I encourage everyone to go and read. You know, talking about how Jacob and loves all his kids, but he gives special emphasis to his son Joseph, and the brothers don't like him.
And the dreams.
It's a beautiful Torah portion. But I thought maybe since Hanukkah is coming up on Tuesday evening, that we will touch upon Hanukkah a little bit, and I was also thinking to talk about why Hanukkah is the concept of the oil of Hanukkah and what that represents in our life, and there's four different levels of oil. So
let's leave Vayeshev and follow the dreidel.
Right. So we'll follow the dreidel. We'll let the dreidel spin.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, Hanukkah is obviously the eighth day of Festival of Lights that begin on the 25th day of Kislev every single year. English dates might vary a little bit. Which celebrates the triumph of the light over darkness, spirituality over materiality. And it goes back to the time of more than 21 centuries ago. And in the Holy Land that was ruled by the Syrian Greeks, who really wanted to, and forcefully wanted the people of Israel to become Greeks, and to become, not to kill them physically, but to kill their spirituality, to become part of their Greek culture, to bow down to the idols, become part of their gyms, and so on and so forth. And a small band of faithful Jews, Judah the Maccabee, Yehuda Maccabee and his five sons, and he got a small army together, and they drove the Greeks from the land, and they reclaimed the temple. And what was so fascinating, what was so interesting in what the Greeks did, is that as the time was, they were at war with the Jews, they went and they desecrated the temple, and they brought sacrifice of pigs in the temple, and they went and destroyed and defied all the jugs of oil that were already prepared for lighting the menorah. So, what is such a big deal? So they defy the oil. Big deal, so you get new oil. It's not a big deal. But if you go and look at, what's the reason why they defied oil and why it was such a big importance? Because the oil was squeezed from the olives, but just the first very few drops that would come out, those were the specific drops that were used for lighting of the menorah. And all the jugs of oil that were squeezed were sealed with the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest's seal. And they knew that. And they knew that if they would destroy that, that even if, let's say they didn't have this in their mind, but let's say the Gospel would be defeated and the Jews would come back, it would be impossible for them to light the menorah because they had no oil. And to prepare the oil would take a long time. And when they won the war, the Jews, and they came into the temple to be able to reclaim the temple and to re-sanctify it, and they came and they wanted to light the candelabra, the menorah, no oil. They come crying to the Kohen Gadol, what are we going to do? We have nothing. The Kohen Gadol says, well, if we don't have, we don't have, but why don't you go do one more search? Look in every single spot possible. And they looked and they looked.
They found that little one.
And they found the one little jug of oil, right. And that jug of oil had the Kohen Gadol seal. They didn't reach it. They didn't get to the Greeks. And they put it in the candelabra, and they wanted to light it, hoping that it would light just for tonight. And by now, we could start working, and hopefully by tomorrow night, we would have a little bit more oil that we could squeeze. And what happens? The miracle happens, and it lasts for 8 days. But because of that, we have the whole holiday of lighting the menorah. We have the whole holiday of having oil. And as we'll talk about, hopefully if we have time in this one, in this segment, we'll talk about quickly a little bit about the foods of the Hanukkah. It's all based on oil. And they were able to fulfill the mitzvah, and they had the Hanukkah menorah. And that's why, so today, we light 8 candles of the menorah, which some people will light with candles, some people will light with oil, some people will have in their windows the electric menorahs to symbolize and to bring out the great miracle, Pirsume Nisa, the spreading out of the miracle of Hanukkah. Now, if you go and look, is what is so important about oil? And there are brought down in Kabbalah, in the Kabbalistic writings, that there are 4 levels of oil. You have 1 level of oil, that the way that the oil is produced, it's produced by crushing. You crush the olives and you get the oil. Alright. You have the 2nd level of oil, that it penetrates solid substance very deeply. If you get oil, for example, drip, or you're eating something and it drips onto your shirt, it's very, very hard to get that oil out of the shirt. You get the oil stain.
Yeah.
Because it penetrates that shirt. It has an everlasting effect. The 3rd level of oil is that it doesn't mix. And it doesn't dissolve. And the 4th level of oil is that it never mixes. It will always rise to the top. If you take a cup of water and you put oil in, what happens? The oil, exactly, flows all the way to the top. And, you know, sometimes when you have a good chicken soup and you're taking, you see these little things of oil swimming around in your soup. Why? Because oil doesn't dissolve. Now, saying that we have these 4 levels that bring down the Kabbalah of oil, which is very great, but each of these 4 levels represents and has some sort of effect in our lives. Because if you look at the 1st one, which we talked about, it's crushing. You crush the oil, and you crush the olive, you get the oil. And crushing in our lives shows on the motion of humbleness, how we need to be able to be kind to people, how we have to be humble. We're not supposed to be egotistic people, having that everything has to go my way. And if it's not my way, then it can't happen. So we have to be able to be humble. We have to be, you know, selfless in front of God over helping other people. The 2nd level, that it penetrates deeply into certain things, is that the pressing of the oil, of the olives, is the ability to become oil. However, we are able, if we work on ourselves, and we're able to live our lives the way that we're supposed to do it, then what happens is we're able to penetrate other people deeply. Like the oil. That if we live our life like a good human being, if we live our life like a good Jew, if we live our life in a way that we can affect other people, when we affect other people, we're not going to just affect them superficially.
Yeah.
We will internally affect that person. Why? Because we're able to penetrate through that person. Like oil that penetrates and stays. And the 3rd level that we have, that oil does not mix and does not dissolve, that a relationship that people have between themselves and their spouse, between themselves and other people, should not cause a person to lose their individual identity. What does that mean? That we don't dissolve. If I have a relationship with someone, my religion, being proud of who I am, does not just get weathered away because I want to be able to fit into society. I want to be able to fit in a conversation I'm having with someone else or with my spouse. In other words, we have to be able to put our egos away. We need to have the humility. We need to be able to have an effect on other people. But I also still have to have my individual identity because I have something to offer that someone else does not. I have something that I as an individual can help and I will not dissolve. I have something different to give to someone else than the other person doesn't have. And the fourth level is that oil will not mix, will always rise to the top. That everything that we do, we will always rise to the top. We are at the top. What does that mean? God chose us as a Jewish nation. God chose us as Am Yisrael. That we have the potential to constantly be rising to the top. To constantly be always at the top of the charts. But with doing that comes a lot of responsibilities. We have to be humiliated. I mean, not humiliated. We have to have humbleness. We have to work on ourselves that we can penetrate other people. We need to be able to have our individual identity. We can affect the world.
Yeah.
And but if we do that, and we have everything together, then we can rise to the top. If we don't have one of those things, we can't rise to the top. And those are one of, which I was, when I was thinking about what we should talk about tonight, and I was thinking about this idea and concept. It's such a phenomenal concept on allowing us to be able to see what is our purpose on this world and what message can I take from Hanukkah. And then, you know, you have the amazing game of dreidel, which is in itself, you know, Kabbalah talked about it. It's so fascinating because, in short, you have the dreidel, and the reason why we have the dreidel is because when the Jews weren't allowed to learn Torah, and the Greeks would come, and they would hide the Torah when they would be learning, and they would take out the game of dreidel and say, what are you talking about to the guards? We're playing dreidel. We're not learning Torah.
Yeah.
Come on, leave us alone.
Yeah.
But there's four letters on the dreidel. There's Nun, Gimel, Heishin, which represents Nes, the miracle, Gadol, big, Hayah was, Sham, over there.
And referring
to Israel.
And in Israel, you say different. You say Nes Gadol Hayah Po.
Correct. So they changed the last letter from Shin, Sham. Over there, they're not going to say in Israel,
exactly.
There was a big miracle that happened there. Where's there? You're in the place of the miracle.
There, yeah.
It happened, so they say, Shaya Po, that it happened here.
That's it.
And Kabbalah talks about how the Nun represents Nefesh, self-identity, and the Guf, the body, and the seichel, the shin, the reasoning,
yeah.
And the hakol, and everything that if you spin everything the right way, for example, the fifth level is the little point at the bottom of the dreidel, which is the foundation. That if you spin everything together and you have all of these ideas of self-identity and my body and service of God and the reasoning of understanding why I'm doing it, and you mix everything together, then you're able to be the real true lamplighter and to be able to affect and help other people. And that's one of the messages of Hanukkah.
Nice.
So now, and then, you know, we could talk really, really quickly in regards to some of the observances that you have on Hanukkah. You know, we eat a lot of oily foods.
Yeah.
We eat the latkes, and the potato pancakes, and the sukkaniyot, and the deep-fried donuts. And we give Hanukkah gelt. We give gelt, which is money. We give some Hanukkah money to our children. And the reason for this is that we should be able to teach them that they should also give it, that they should also not keep it for themselves, give it to charity. So if you give a kid $2 on the night, you tell him to give $1 to charity or $1 to a poor person, you know.
Yeah.
My daughter was telling me this yesterday. She's like, when I get Hanukkah gelt, you know, she's all excited. You know, she wants to get $1 every night. That's $8 for a 3.5-year-old. That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
So she was telling me, she says, Daddy, when I'm going to get the money, I want to give it to people that don't have any money to help them buy food.
That's very nice.
So I said that, you know, and that's one of the concepts that you want to be able to teach them. And you know, we have the special prayers that are done, and we light the menorah. So our kids get 8 days of Hanukkah gelt and presents. That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
And it's a family time, you know, time to spend time with the family. It's so important. Spend time with the kids, explaining the story of Hanukkah. Let them light the menorah. Let them realize what the real light is. Play the dreidel game with them. Bring it that they should enjoy the spirit and the festivities and the pleasure of Hanukkah. It's a very important thing.
Beautiful. So, Rabbi, our event next week is...
Yes, we have a big, big, the annual big Hanukkah event in the Davenstein Mall, which is being sponsored by all the three synagogues, Congregation Shaar Tzedek, Congregation Shaar Shmaim, Congregation Bethel, Massey High School, the Jewish Student Center of Windsor, and it is going to be a phenomenal event. We're doing it at the Devonshire Mall, December 21st, at 4 o'clock from 4 to 6. We are going to be lighting Windsor's largest, first ever Lego menorah that is going to be built, and we're going to be lighting a menorah out of that, and honored dignitaries are going to be from the city of Windsor are going to be there. We're going to have latkes and music and donuts and crafts for the kids. And the beautiful thing is that after we light the menorah, Thursday morning, we are going to take the menorah to the Metropolitan Hospital, and we're going to go to the pediatrics wing, the pediatrics floor, and it's going to stand on display in the hospital for the holiday season. After the holiday season is over, we are going to take the menorah apart, and we are going to donate the Lego to the children's wing of the hospital, so that the children that come there, unfortunately, can brighten up and lighten up their day or weeks or however long that they're there, hopefully not, that they can enjoy Lego. And that is one of the beautiful aspects of this program, that we can give back to the community.
Yeah. So it's exactly what you said before, that combining the game and the spirit of the holiday with doing a mitzvah.
Exactly. Exactly. We teach our kids that we might be the most fortunate ones, you know, we're healthy, we're well. Let's give back to the ones that are unfortunately, and hopefully they'll have a speedy recovery, but they are unfortunately not well. But we want to brighten up their lives, and that is what gave me the desire to be able to do it in this way, and the whole community came together, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. So please, Rabbi, can you repeat the day and the time?
It's going to be a week from Wednesday. December 21st, 4 o'clock at the Devonshire Mall in the food court, and it's open to the whole community, and it is free admission.
That's great. So, Rabbi, we will count the days till this event.
Oh, you definitely bet that.
And next week we won't have a show, and we won't talk about Hanukkah or the Parasha. That's why we talked about it today.
And we will resume the week afterwards, back in full swing with the beautiful Parasha.
Like you say, with God's willing.
That's right, that's right.
So we hope to see everybody at the event at Devonshire Mall on next Wednesday at 4 o'clock at
that's
the food
right.
court.
Yes.
And it will be full of light, for sure.
It definitely will be. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone.
Same here. So, Shabbat
Shalom. Wishing everyone a Shabbat Shalom and a happy, delightful latke, donuts, oily Hanukkah.
Same to you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Be well.
Thank you.